I'd like to begin with an illustration this morning. A while back, I read an interesting story about Albert Einstein, the scientist. He was traveling from Princeton by train, and as the conductor came by to begin, accepting tickets and began punching tickets, he came down the row and he eventually reached Dr. Einstein and he asked for his ticket, and the well-known doctor reached in his pocket, couldn't find nothing. So he reached in his pants pocket, couldn't find nothing. Eventually, he stood up, began to look into his briefcase, he couldn't find anything. Began to look over the seat, he couldn't find something, or find a ticket and find nothing. And the conductor smiled, and he kindly said, he said, "Dr. Einstein," he said, "I know who you are." He said, "It's okay." He said, "I'm sure you bought a ticket, don't worry, everything's all right. We'll just, go on." And so the conductor proceeded to go down the train car there and punch tickets. And as he got to the end, he looked back and he saw the doctor on his hands and knees underneath his chair, looking and scrambling. And so he rushed back as fast as he could. He said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry about it. He said, "It's no problem, really, no problem. We know who you are. We trust you. Everything's all right." Well, the frustrated scientist looked up. He said, "Young man, I too know who I am. I just don't know where I'm going." Sometimes we can lose direction in life. And there's nothing worse than not knowing where you're going. It can be frustrating, and it can even be fearful at times. Well, today we're going to continue our series, Prayers Worth Praying. And I want us to consider a short and simple prayer by David, Psalm 25, if you have your Bibles. A short and simple prayer by David, asking God for direction. And I believe that we can learn from this prayer. So Psalm chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading. I'll begin verse 1, but our text this morning will be verses 4 and 5. So Psalm chapter 25, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." And then in verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day." Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you have provided for our church and for each of us as individuals. I thank you for salvation in your Son. And I pray as we go forward in this message, Lord, I just ask that you open up your word to each of us here this morning. And Holy Spirit, I pray you work in our hearts and provide whatever is needed today for each one of us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the simple prayer of show me. Show me. I'm going to give you three thoughts from this prayer as far as David is concerned. And I want you to notice, I guess you would say, the devotion in this prayer and the great desire that David had as he looked to God for direction. Now, first, let's talk about the first one here in verse 4. Notice how David began this prayer. In verse 4, chapter 25, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord." And then secondly, we'll look where he says, "Teach me thy paths." And in verse 5, we'll see he said, "Lead me in thy truth." So I'm going to take 3 points right from our text. And to begin with, I want us to consider the first one here where he says, "Show me thy way." I guess this is a prayer that you would ask so that way you don't mistake another way for God's way. He says, "Show me thy way. I want to know the right way, Lord. Show me so I can see it, so that way I can go the correct way." Now, I'm going to give you two thoughts here. First, it's difficult to find the way of God. It's difficult in this world to find God's way. And unless God enlightens us, we cannot know the way to God. You know, think of Jesus Christ. What did he say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You see, without Christ, we cannot know God or know the way to God. The only way we know God and know the way to him is through his word and through what he has allowed us to see and allowed us to know. So God has enlightened us so we can know him and know the way to him. Notice David here. I think David was an intelligent man. We know at this point in his life he's probably an experienced man as far as not only in leadership, as far as the military, but also his country. And yet we find an intelligent and an experienced man recognizing his need for God and recognizing his need for God to direct him in his life and to show him the way. You know, this morning, don't allow the things of the world, whatever they may be, to hinder your view of the truth. And that can happen even to believers. The wisest need God's wisdom. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have or how long you've been in school or how long you have grown, received your education. The wisest need God's wisdom. And the most successful require God's help. You see, we need God in our life. David needed God in his life, and David's asking God to show him. You'll notice David was not interested in good ideas, fancy notions, wonderful opinions. He wanted to know the ways of God. He's getting right to it. He said, God, show me your ways. He wanted to know what God had for him and what God wanted him to do. But it's difficult to find the ways of God. Number two, it's different. It's different. God's ways are different than what we find in this world. Here's three thoughts I'll give to you on this. First, how about the selfish? I know none of you ever get selfish, right? But I get selfish sometimes. You know the selfish? We seek our own way. We don't seek God's way. When we become selfish, we're seeking our way. What we want, what we desire, what we think should happen in our life, instead of seeking God's way. And so the selfish will seek after their own heart's desires. And then you have what I would call the spiritual. The spiritual are those who may seek any enlightened way. Whatever seems good or sounds good, whatever makes them feel good, they'll seek any enlightened way. And there are a lot of spiritual people in our world today that are seeking anything that seems good or sounds good. You got to be careful of that because, evil spirits are active and they can make things sound pretty enticing sometimes. But spiritual people seek anything that enlightens them or sounds good. And then you have the third group, which I hope and pray everyone here is part of this group, and that's the saved group. Those that are redeemed, and we should seek after God's ways. Not our ways, not the world's ways, not any way which sounds good or seems nice, but the way that God has determined. And so this morning, let me ask you this question. Which ways are you seeking? Which ways are you seeking? I may have never even thought about that before. Which ways are you seeking in life? Are you seeking your ways, your desires? Are you seeking after spiritual ways? Are you seeking after God's ways? Wanting to know what God has for your life. Now, how can we do this? How can we seek God's ways? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. I think the answer here is in this verse, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and in verse 105. And this is David writing as well. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Here's how you can know the ways of God, right here in God's word. You see, the Bible is what I would call God's revealed will to mankind. This is God's word to you this morning. It's not just to pastors. It's not just to missionaries. This is God's word to everyone. Read it. Memorize it. Know what it says. You can know God's revealed will. And God's word is a light. It's a lamp, as it's talking about there. You see, David is saying, show me your way. Now, this morning, we live in a world of darkness as far as sin is concerned. We need a light. We need a lamp. And God's Word provides it. So read the Bible. Get to know God's Word. Here's, to finish this point, here's what it comes down to. Ignorance must be recognized. Ignorance. We have to recognize that we are ignorant. Now let me explain this. I'm not ridiculing or I'm not trying to offend anybody. Ignorance is without knowledge is what ignorance is. We are all ignorant of certain things. Nobody knows everything, loved ones. Whether it's with a vehicle or whether it's with a computer. You know, you may be an expert in a certain field, but doesn't mean you know everything about another field. Let me give you an example. I don't believe I'm an expert in anything, but I can tell you one thing. When it comes to vehicles, I can take one apart, but don't ask me to put it back together. It'll be put back together, but it'll probably be put back together in the wrong way, and I seriously doubt it'll run or have all sorts of problems. Yet there are some men and women that can take a car apart and then put it right back together again. You see, we're ignorant in certain fields. All of us are. Nobody knows everything, but God does. So we must set aside our ignorance or recognize our ignorance and then set aside our pride and say, God, show me your ways. Show me your ways. You have blessed me and maybe my career, or you've given me all these blessings in this direction, but please show me your way so I can continue to follow after you. So this morning, I encourage you to set aside your pride if you have any and look to God and ask Him to show you His ways. Number two, let's go back to our verse there, Psalm 25. He says here in verse 4, Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Then he says, teach me thy path. So we're talking first, David asks in this prayer, he says, show me thy ways. And then secondly, he says, teach me thy paths. My thought on this is we need to know God's paths, lest we wander down a wrong path, believing it to be right. You don't want to go the wrong way, especially in life. You don't want to go the wrong way. We want to make sure we're going down the right path and the right way. There's nothing worse than going the wrong way. I've been on the highway before. I've made a wrong turn. I had to go all the way down, turn around and come back, waste time and go the other way. Fortunately, I noticed, fairly early that I was going the wrong way and didn't go too far. But in life, we want to make sure we're walking with God. We're not going down the wrong path. Now, I think this thought goes a little bit further than the first one. First one, David says, show me. In other words, enlighten me. Let me see it. In this second point, he's saying, teach me so I can know it. It goes a little bit further. Let me illustrate this. I think the first point would probably be someone who goes off to college or university. And they are taught maybe a certain field of study. 4 years, maybe 6 years, 8 years, depending on where they're going. And that's the show me. The teach me would probably be once they begin their career and they begin to learn their path. All of a sudden, there's new things that are thrown in their way, and they're now learning. They're being taught the path. Hands-on experience. See, David's now saying, teach me your ways. Don't just show them to me, but teach me your ways. Here's two reasons why we need to be taught the ways of God. First, there are multiple paths out there that you can take. And let me just say this, they don't all end with God. See, that's the devil's lie. The devil has a lie out there today saying, choose your own way, everything's going to be fine. I believe that's the devil's lie. If we're going to get to God, we have to go the way that God has prescribed through Jesus Christ. And then we have to walk the ways according to His Word. So there are multiple ways in this world that someone can go, and many of them will get you into trouble. Some will just lead you astray and just kind of keep you occupied for a while. But we want to make sure we're going down the right path. The path that leads to righteousness. Now, as far as the paths that are in this world, I think it can be summed up in two groups. You have the paths of sin, which are the result of the devil working through the world, whether it's a false religion or just something appealing to the flesh. And then you have what I would call the paths of righteousness, and those are the ways of God. The Bible talks in Matthew, Jesus talked about the narrow way and the wide way. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven. We want to be on the right path. We're going to be walking with God. Now, of course, salvation, that's where it begins. You want to make sure you're saved, that you put your faith in Christ and you believed on Jesus for salvation. You can't walk after God until you know God. That's just what it amounts to. You can't be taught the truths of God until you know God. I encourage each of you to examine your heart. Make sure you're saved this morning. You've understood that you're a sinner. Recognize your need for a Savior. And then you went to God. You went to God repenting or understanding your sin, repenting of your sin, and believing on Jesus Christ for your salvation, you have put your faith in Christ. And you believed on Him as your Savior. Make sure you're saved here this morning. Because once you're saved, you can go down these paths. You can walk with God. You can pray this prayer of David. I believe this prayer of David is a prayer of a believer asking God to teach him His ways now. And so we find that he's asking God to teach him because there's multiple paths. He wants to know the right path to go down. And then here's number two. And I just put it this way. I put my path. I guess you could put it your path. The biggest threat, I think, to our walk with God, if we're honest, comes from within. It's so easy to put all the blame on the devil. So the devil tempted me. I wonder if we get to heaven, we're going to find that we gave too much credit to the devil and too much credit to the world when the problem was just right here. Sometimes we just wanted to go astray. Sometimes our heart led us that direction instead of seeking after the things of God. So let's be careful of going down my path, what I want. Here's the problem with going down your path. It may seem good for a while, but you know what? You don't know all things. You're limited in your knowledge and your power. You may go the wrong way or get yourself in trouble. And that's one of the problems of going down your path. Another problem of going down your path is when you get lost. If you're saved, you belong to the Lord. But when you get lost, not salvation loss, I'm just talking going down the wrong path, it's going to be a lot harder on you when you get right with God. There's going to be some humility. You're going to have to seek God's forgiveness and get right with Him and then go down His path. Let's make sure we're not seeking our desires in this world, but we're seeking after the Lord and His will in our life. Now, how can we do this? How can we allow God to teach us here in 2018? I think we allow the Spirit to work in our life. We have to yield to the Spirit. You know, Paul tells us not to grieve the Spirit or not to quench the Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, to John 14, verses 26. I wanted to show you what Christ said about the Holy Spirit. John 14 and verse 26, and this is what Jesus said about the Spirit to the apostles. He said, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And then go over a few chapters to John 16, and you'll notice in verse 13, John 16 and verse 13, Jesus again said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." You know, the work of the Spirit in the heart of the believer is probably the most powerful work that takes place on earth today. You see, the Spirit resides with those that belong to Christ. And you know what the Spirit will do? He'll begin to work in your heart to produce the fruit. We find in Galatians 5, to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life and in your heart. Now, to do that, the Spirit, He may convict you sometimes. That's just what it comes down to. He may convict you because He may say, "You know what? You're going the wrong way. You know the way, but you're following your own path. Here's some conviction. You need to get back here." And that's how He'll often work. He may challenge your heart at times as you're reading the Word or as you're seeking the Lord in prayer. You may be challenged to get involved in a certain area, or there may be something you need to be doing that you're not. And the Holy Spirit may challenge your heart. Then there can be times the Holy Spirit's going to comfort your heart. You know, we all go through difficulties and trials. And there may be times the Holy Spirit's just going to comfort your heart and give you that strength to continue on. Either way, whatever we find, that it's the Spirit's work in our heart that teaches us the paths of God. Here's what it comes down to, this second point. Our inability must be understood. Inability. I hate to break it to you, but you're limited in life. If you don't know that yet, you're limited. Now, I don't mean to bust any bubbles or anyone's dreams. If you have dreams and God's put a desire in your heart, then go for it. I tell young men and women, for some reason, young men and women have a lot of dreams and desires and goals. And I tell you what, I don't want to ever be someone who bursts them for them as a pastor. If God's put them there, and if there's nothing wrong with them, then go for it. God has put them in your heart. Joseph was a dreamer, and he had dreams. But you know, as we go through life, we're going to find that we don't always get what we want. And some of it's just due to inability. We just can't get it because we don't maybe have the wisdom or the strength, the timing, whatever the case may be. We are limited. But this morning, folks, God is unlimited. God can do all things. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," is what Paul said. Jesus Himself said, "With God, all things are possible." God can do all things. He is unlimited. He is able to teach you. He's able to guide you. He's able to provide for you. What we need to do is just submit to God. Recognize our inability to do all things. Yield to the direction of the Spirit. Seek Him in all areas of our life. And just walk with the Lord. So I encourage you this morning, pray that prayer, "Teach me thy paths," and then submit to the Lord. Number three, let's go back and we'll wrap this up with our final thought here. Psalm 25, it says here in verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." And then number 5, he said, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Here's number 3, lead me into thy truth. I guess the thought of the psalmist is, lead me into the truth, so I don't hastily go the wrong way, or I'm not deceived by a error or a false way. Lead me into thy truth. Again, I think David goes a bit further here. Let me explain this to you. David now wanted a leader down the path. He didn't want to just, he asked God to show him the path, then to teach him. And then he didn't say, "I'm going to just scramble and go and do my best." He said, "God, lead me down this path. Take me down this path. So that way I have you to follow. If you go right, I'm going to go right. If you go left, I'm going to go left. You keep going straight, I'm going to go straight. I'm going to be right behind you, God, and I want you to lead me." Is that how you want God in your life? To lead you each step of the way? Lead in all your decisions? Lead in your career path? Lead at your home? Lead in your spiritual life? That's how we should ask God to lead us into truth. Lead so that way we can follow. Now there are two thoughts I'll give you here. First, we have to have a leader because there are what I'd call the ways of error. I'll call it a fool's life. A fool's life. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And we also find that again in the book of Proverbs, talking about the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. We also find that the fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God," we find in the book of Proverbs as well. Let me give you some thoughts on this. There is a fool's life, a fool's way. And that's the way without God, as well put it. Now, obviously, when you're talking salvation, that's a big mistake to go without God. Because if you go through life without God and you go your own way and then you end your life without God, then you're going to be separated from God forever, the Bible teaches. And so that is an extremely foolish way. Make sure you're saved. But even after we're saved, we must make sure we're walking the ways of God and we're seeking after God, because we can be foolish if we decide we want to go our own way or do our own thing or just have our own will, so to speak. And if we do that, we get ourselves in trouble. We try to determine our own direction instead of allowing God to lead us. And then you have what I would call the ways of righteousness, or the ways of truth. And that's what I would call a full life. We have a fool's life, going your own way, and then you have what I would call a full life. That's what David's seeking here. You know, here's what David's asking God now. He said, "God, I want to experience life with you." Have you thought about that? Think of it that way. He doesn't just want to see the way. He doesn't just want to be taught the way. He now wants God to lead him in the way. We have a man of God who says, "God, I just want to experience life with you. I want to know what it's like to go the right way, and I want you to take me that way." That's the way we should be. That's the prayer we should have in our heart. We should want to experience life with God Almighty on a daily basis. Not just once or twice. Not just Sunday mornings. Every single day of our life, experience a life with God leading us and directing us and providing for us. A life where we can talk to Him and ask Him to help us. A life where we can take all our cares and concerns to Him. A life where He provides His wisdom, His power, and if needed, His comfort. You know, if you have this life, I think this is a full life. Because if you have this life, your heart is going to be content with God. No matter where He takes you, you're going to be content. That's really the secret to contentment, loved ones, is seeking after God. You read through the Old Testament. I tell you, you have men and women that were in some pretty pitiful places, the way I'll put it. You have Joseph in the pit, then you have him going to Egypt, and you have Daniel in Babylon. You have David on the run, but you find those men often were content with God. And their circumstances were horrible, but their heart had joy because they were content with the Lord. You see, they were going the way that God wanted them to go. They were walking with God, and no matter what circumstance God allowed in their life, they were able to be content with the Lord. That's a full life, having contentment with God. And that's how you have joy. Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. We can be happy, but we can lose it. When you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, no matter what takes place around you, you can keep that there because you're looking to God. You're going down the direction God has for you, and you know that God is going to work on your behalf, and you know He's going to bless you. Now you say, how can we have this, or how can I have God lead me? Let me just share with you a thought, and then we'll conclude this message this morning. Romans chapter 8. The way we can, I guess you say, have God lead us in the ways of truth is to recognize what I would call His grace and His providence in our life. And not only recognizing it, but submitting to it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we find here in verse 26, I'll begin reading. It says here, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now that verse is an easy verse to read. I quote it often. But sometimes that's a verse that's difficult really to apply. What I mean by that is, we need to understand and recognize that God is at work in our life. He works in our heart, but He also has the power to work around your life. Let me just put it that way. You see, God is not limited to just your life. Let me illustrate this for you. Maybe there's something going on. Let's say you someone here works, have a problem at work. Maybe you work with an ornery individual, have a problem at work. You got to deal with it. You begin praying to God, say, God, help me deal with this. Help me take care of this. And then as you go further, you begin to realize, hey, this is out of my hands. I can't do anything about it. That's when you go forward and you trust that God will work. And let me just share this with you. God has the power to work in someone else's life around you, to bless you. That's when we wait on God. That's when we trust in the Lord, that God's grace and His providence will take care of us, that He'll provide, whether it's at work, whether it's our personal life, our spiritual life. Whatever the case may be, we trust that God works. And we go by faith. See, the just shall live by faith. We go by faith. We walk with the Lord, and we let Him lead us into the ways of truth. You know, it's so simple. Sometimes we make it more than what it is. You know, John says, walk in the light, is what he says. We simply walk with God on a daily basis, make sure that we are asking Him His ways, we are obeying the direction He gives us, and then we let Him work in our life around us. And God is able to work, and He will work in His time and in His way. Now, in closing, go back to our text. I want to point something out to you in closing this morning. Psalm 25, and it says here, in verse 5, it says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. And then notice the two things that David is counting on. And this is the conclusion. David is counting on two things. First, he says, thou art the God of my salvation. And then he says, on thee do I wait all the day. So here's the first thing that David's counting on. He's counting on his personal relationship with God. Now think about that for a moment. David recognizes that God is the God of his salvation, that God has saved him, that God has taken care of him, and that he belongs to the Lord. This morning, if you belong to God, you can be certain that God cares for you. I mean, He saved you. He has forgiven you of your sin. He's preparing a home for you. He cares for you this morning. And you can pray this prayer with confidence, knowing that God will show you the way, knowing that He will teach you the path, and that He will lead you into His truth, because He loves you. He cares for you, and you're His. And that's what David was counting on here. He knew God would bless him, and that's why he prayed to God. And number two, David was counting on patience. In other words, David was going to wait on God until God blessed. He was willing to wait. He says there, wait all the day long. It's referring to being willing to wait on God. How long will you wait for God to bless? How long will you wait for God to answer? Really, the answer to that should be how long? As long as it takes. If you're asking God to show you His ways, you're asking God to lead you in His paths, you're asking God to teach you, you should be willing to wait as long as it takes for God to give that to you. And you should wait with expectation, because God will. God will teach you. God will lead you. God will guide you and direct you. And wait with earnestness. Have faith in God. Don't doubt that He'll provide the direction that He has for your life, but trust in Him. You know our text, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. I tell you what, that's a prayer worth praying.